Okay then. While all this was going on, Peter was down in the courtyard. One of the chief priest's servant girls came in and, seeing Peter warming himself there, looked hard at him and said, "You were with the Nazarene Jesus." He denied it. "I don't know what you're talking about." And he went out in the porch. A rooster crowed. The girl spotted him and began telling the people standing around, "He's one of them," and he denied it again. After a little while, the bystanders brought it up again. "You've got to be one of them. You've got Galilean written all over you." Now Peter got really nervous and swore, "I never laid eyes on this man you're talking about." And just then the rooster crowed a second time. Peter remembered how Jesus had said, "Before a rooster crows twice, you will deny me three times." And he collapsed in tears.
This one for the people. Is this one for the Lord? Or do I simply serenade for things I must afford? You can jumble them together. My conflict still remains. Holiness is calling in the midst of courting fame.
Cause I see the trust in their eyes.
Though the sky is falling,
they need your love in their lives.
Compromise is calling.
What if I stumble? What if I fall? What if I lose my step and I make fools of us all? Will the love continue when my walk becomes a crawl? What if I stumble? And what if I
will leave a deadly scar?
Do they see the fear in my eyes?
Are they so revealing?
This time I cannot disguise
all the doubt I'm feeling.
What if I stumble? What if I fall? What if I lose my step and I make fools of us all? Will the love continue when my walk becomes a crawl?
It's time for us now to leave the High Priest's courtyard and make our way carefully across Kirk Street using the traffic lights, and we're going to head down to the castle. And now the castle in the Straven Trail represents the Roman fort, because the Romans ruled Palestine at this time. And in fact, Angus, why did they have to take him there at all?
Well, it's quite interesting, isn't it? I mean, they've been in the high priest's courtyard and they've been through this trial, but really it was the Romans that were the governing powers at that time. So legally it was the Romans that had to put him on trial and come to a conclusion about that. I don't know if you've seen the film, Murray, The Passion of Christ,
yeah,
Mel Gibson in it. Yes, it's graphic in the way it portrays what happened at the Roman fort, and horrific, in fact, is the way I think I would describe it. Quite scary.
And who was responsible then at the Roman fort for Jesus?
Well, it would be Pontius Pilate that would have ultimate responsibility there for what went on, and of course he was a bit unwilling to take responsibility in the end, wasn't he?
So he was the governor of Judea at the time,
yeah,
and answerable to the emperor in Rome.
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
Can you just run through what actually happened?
Okay, well, they called together a group of soldiers in the fort and they dressed Jesus up. I suppose they were mocking him, really. They dressed him up with a purple robe and they made a crown of thorns and put that on his head. And they began mocking him while they had him dressed up like this, as well as mocking him. We read that they spat on him and they banged his head with a club and they whipped him. It was pretty barbaric stuff, really.
And Pontius Pilate himself didn't want Jesus executed, is that right?
He tried to back away, I suppose, from making a decision and, you know, said to the crowd, you know, who do you want? Do you want this man to be crucified? And, of course, the crowd were sort of whipped up into a frenzy and were shouting, crucify him, crucify him.
That must have been terrifying.
It must have been terrifying for Jesus, and if any of his followers were at all in the vicinity, it must have been absolutely terrifying for them too, yeah?
Uh-huh. Well, as we come to the castle, the Outreach Community Church around the back of the castle are going to help us reflect on Jesus' suffering. And really, this is a time for us to think very carefully and quietly about what actually Jesus, the Son of God, went through for us. So you'll want to spend some time, Angus, just, I'm sure, thinking about it. And then from the castle, the next stop is across up to the Monument Hill, where we have the crosses themselves. And I'm going to ask you shortly to read something about what would happen during a crucifixion.
Okay.
That's it.
Right, thanks.
I have placed all my hope in a crucified man, in the wounds in his side, his feet and his hands. I have traded my pride for a share in his shame, and the glory that one day will burst from his brain. I've abandoned my trust in the wise and the proud, for this fragile, mysterious weakness of God. And I dare to believe in his scandalous claim, that his blood cleanses sin for whoever will call on his name. Live or die, here I stand. I've placed my hope in a crucified man. I believe as they beat on his beautiful face, he turned a torturer's chair into an altar of grace, where the worst we can do met the best that God does, where unspeakable hate met the gaze of unstoppable love. At the crux of it all, there he hangs. I've placed my hope in a crucified man.
So we're going to make our way back across Kirk Street now and head up towards the Monument Hill. And on the top of the Monument Hill, high above Straven, we have the cross. You know, the cross is a really important symbol in Christian life, but it's a really terrible place to go. And as we walk towards the cross, I think we have to take some time to reflect on what it means. So, Angus, if you could read for us now what you think a Roman execution was like.